Good morning. What a lousy morning God provided today. What a beautiful day the Lord has blessed us with. Even if it is a lousy morning for you, His mercies still remain new, and so find reason to rejoice in that. Who takes out the trash at your house? If you live alone, that would be you. When it comes to spiritual trash, let us not wait for others to remove it for us. Spiritual trash, it's important for us to acknowledge that we have it. It's important that we not just acknowledge it, but that we get rid of it so it doesn't continue to stink up our life. Now, what we're talking about is not your typical trash talk. Jesus encourages us to keep our life clean. And that's what we're here to help get done. God bless you in your worship of Him as we turn our attention now to the invocation on page 3 of our worship bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His.
We are His people, the sheep of His pasture.
Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise.
Give thanks to Him and praise His name.
For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues to all.
Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, then I will keep them to the end. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. We find our opening hymn on page 9 of our worship bulletin, the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
Please stand. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. Jesus has said, as recorded in Matthew 22,
"Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all of your soul, and all of your mind."
This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
But we have disobeyed Him, and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. I invite you to be seated, and then turn to page 10 for our song, His Mercy Is More. Note the vocalist will sing through verse 1 in the refrain one time through, and then we'll join in singing verse 1 in the refrain again, and then continue on. Let us pray. Let your continual mercy, O Lord, cleanse and defend your church, and because it cannot continue in safety without your help, protect and govern it always by your goodness.
For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Reading from Holy Scripture.
Genesis 12, what word would you use to describe Abraham upon the Lord's call? Abram sets a fine example for us. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whatever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Morah at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord, the word of the Lord. Now turn to page 11 for the hymn response, 10,000 Reasons. Our vocalist will sing verse 1. We'll join on the remaining, on the refrains.
Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. My strength is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then
what rubbish is standing in your way, which keeps you from living Jesus as the first and foremost priority in your life? Something to think about as we hear these words from Philippians. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 14th chapter, expressing what Jesus expects of us, and rightfully so, not just a mindless commitment. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, He said, "If anyone comes to Me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be My disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow Me cannot be My disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, Those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we now turn to our hymn of the day. It's on page 12 of the worship bulletin, His Robe's Not Mine. Again, the vocalist will sing verse 1. We'll join on the remaining verses.
His robes for mine, no wonderful exchange. Clothed in my sin, Christ suffered 'neath God's rage. Draped in His righteousness, I'm justified. In Christ I live, for in my place He died.
And so may God's grace and His mercy and His peace continue to overflow in you and through you. And this is possible thanks to our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning. We turn back to our second reading, these words from Philippians once again. The Apostle Paul writes, "I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave up His life for ours and took it back again. God be praised. Have you walked into your house or your apartment lately and said to yourself, "What stinks?" Then you remember that meal you had a couple nights before and the scraps that you threw into your compost bag or bucket or perhaps your trash bag, ignoring those compost rules. And such was not removed from the house, so it left an odor. Well, once removed from your house, either through the windows being opened or by using plenty of air freshener, your living place now is nice, livable again. But what had to happen first? The trash had to be taken out, removed. The source of the smell, it had to be removed. Dear friends, is it really any different when it comes to us and in our own life? There are times when we really stink. But removing ourselves from the house, for example, is not the answer. The solution to removing that stink that is in us and permeates through us. We need a resource outside of ourselves to remove the self, the smell, and the cause of that odor coming from within us. Thus, the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, points out not only the cause or the root cause of the smell that is in us, but He also points out the way to properly deal with that smell once and for all, so that it will not continue to contaminate us further. And not just us, but those around us too. In a nutshell then, we are encouraged today to take out the trash. But not just today, right? Every day we need to take out the trash. And in order for us to take out the trash, we need to be able to identify the trash. The Apostle Paul did that. He reflects back on his time before becoming a follower of Christ. And to those who were challenging Paul now as a follower of Christ, if they want to get into that comparison, who's a better follower of God by their life, Paul says, game on, bring it. What does he say? If they think they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I got more. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. As for zeal, you know how he showed it? I persecuted those followers of the way. As for righteousness based on law, who could find any fault? And Paul realizes now, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, what kind of garbage that really was. And what kind of garbage it is for anybody to think that they can earn God's favor, or they think they are a better human being than somebody else by how they live their life. But isn't that the kind of trash that we carry around in our minds, in our hearts on a daily basis? Aren't we just like Paul before his conversion? And at times had a struggle even after his conversion, and so he recognized that the Lord had given him that thorn in the flesh to keep him humble, to remind him that it wasn't about him, Paul, but rather it's about Christ. And don't we need that reminder too, that it's not about us, but about Christ, as we can get pretty puffed up? And so we need to identify the trash in our own lives. Whether it be comparing ourselves to someone else, well, at least we're not as bad as so-and-so. Do you know what they do? Or look what I do. You want to talk about zeal for the Lord? Look how much I volunteer. But then are you volunteering out of love for Christ or volunteering to get recognized? God, help us identify the trash in our life and acknowledge it, so that that trash can be removed. Dear friends, take the trash out. That trash might be apathy. How much apathy is taking place in our world today, and even within the church? In the church, the visible church, in a way, is on the decline. Thankfully, not the invisible church, because there are people coming to Christ, thankfully, day in and day out. But the visible church is on a decline, partly because of apathy, partly because we, as a church, I'm not talking specifically us, but we can look at ourselves too, we are not good at taking out the trash any longer. How many churches have excused sin? Or don't even talk about sin anymore? Well, they'll talk about Jesus. And thankfully, again, wherever Jesus is preached, there is the opportunity for believers, for people to connect to Jesus. But what can happen if we don't realize that there is garbage in us that Jesus had to come and take care of? Pretty soon we even lose why Jesus, we're talking about him. As we get caught up again more in what we do rather than what he has done. I mean, the last hymn put it very succinctly. It's not us, not our blood that was shed, but his blood that was shed and has been credited to us. In addition to apathy hurting the church today, what else? Laziness. Church is kind of a take it or leave it thing. If nothing better comes up, hey, maybe I'll go. And then again. Or maybe it is volunteering. Not just for a church event, but maybe in the neighborhood. You know, I don't need to let my light shine today. I'll keep it dim. Jesus will understand. After all, he just wants a little bit of me. He doesn't want all of me. No, he wants all of you. And not just your best, he wants perfection. And then we have to reflect on the fact, boy, I don't give him the perfection that he wants. I'm not always counting the cost. That's trash that needs to be removed. Paul says, throw it out. Overboard, literally, is the picture of a captain at sea, and the ship is in distress. And so what does he do? We need to lighten up the load. So they throw it overboard to lighten up the load, to give it a chance. We need to throw it out, or else what's it going to do? That trash is going to drag us down. And when we think we're connected to Christ, we're really disconnected to Christ. Because he's going to say on that last day, when you say, hey, Lord, I knew you. And he's going to say, no, you didn't. You let your trash get in the way. You didn't take it out. So it's important then to identify the trash, but not just identify it, but know how to deal with it. The law convicts us, and the law is going to leave us in despair, but thankfully we do have the gospel. which reminds us of what Jesus has done with your trash and my trash and the trash of the entire world. He took it to the cross with him, where he left it, paid for. It's done. It doesn't smell up our life anymore. What a beautiful gift. That sweet smell is not something that we have brought to God. Rather, that sweet smell is the sacrifice of Jesus. And we get connected to that sweet smell through the work of the Holy Spirit, who uses law to convict us, to point out our trash, and then reminds us and gives us the gospel of what Jesus has done to pay for that trash, to get it out of our life so it doesn't remain an issue with God and us. But how often do we need to remove that trash? How often do we need to be reminded of what Jesus has done for us to deal with that trash, to dispose of it properly? Every day, right? Because every day, new trash keeps coming in through what we watch, through what we hear. Our sinful nature just keeps producing it. Aren't you amazed sometimes how much trash, physical trash we have? Imagine how much spiritual trash we really are racking up with our thoughts and our words and our actions. And so every day we need to be convicted of that trash, and every day then we need to be reminded of what Jesus has done for that trash, how he has disposed of it properly, so that again, every day we can stand sweet smelling before the Lord. And every day then we are reinvigorated, re-empowered to live our lives for Jesus, out of love for God. And so we reflect on how we can do that. Love, the love of Christ, compels us to no longer live for ourselves, but rather for him who lived and died and lives again for us. And so one of the ways to do that is by worshiping him regularly, making him that priority, not just when it's convenient. Worshiping him during the week, not just by taking the time to do devotional time through the Bible, but worshiping him but through the tasks that we do. By serving others, we are ultimately serving him. And so we do those tasks, even the ones that we don't want to do, like taking out the trash, we do those tasks, not with that have-to attitude, but rather that want-to attitude. Because we realize as we take out that physical trash so our house doesn't continue to stink, that's a reminder of, boy, Lord, help me confess my sins today so that myself does not remain stinking before you. And thank you, Lord, for that reminder, and thank you, Lord, for giving me your Son so that I can smell good before you. And as you smell good, won't people want to be around you? But if you stink, does even your family want to be around you? We are to be salt and light to the world, which means then we need to be sweet smelling to the world. That doesn't come from us, that comes from Christ and permeates through us. So the more we soak up Christ, the more we can permeate the smell of Christ through us and be the salt and light that he has called us to be. Take the example of Psalm 1. Meditate on the word of the Lord day and night, whatever form works for you, so that you can have Christ permeate in you what he has done for you. And let that then permeate out in the world, in whatever it is that you do. Standing on the sideline is not an option. Standing on the sideline doesn't help us improve our game. We need to be in the game. And through the blood of Christ, through the call of faith, he has put us in the game. And so he reminds us, like in our gospel, and count the cost. You may lose some friendships because they don't want to smell good. That's on them. But you give them the opportunity. Here's that spiritual bar of soap, so to speak. Clean up. But if they refuse, again, that's on them. As far as it depends on us, be at peace with everyone. If they don't want to be at peace, again, that's their loss. Do not hang around someone who's sweet-smelling. It could help them in their life. As Paul, so with us. We want to continually take out that trash and fill ourselves up with Christ so that we can attain what Christ has won for us. Not just that forgiven status, but what comes with it, the sure hope of heaven. Because of trash in this world, we're all subject to death. But death doesn't get the last word, thanks to Christ. And so Paul, sitting in that prison cell, hey, I'm going to live for Christ. Either way, either I'm going to get out of this prison and continue to live for Him, or I'm going to go to heaven. And that's gain by far. And so, Holy Spirit, help me attain what Christ has won for me by keeping the trash out of my life and keeping Christ in my life. So what trash is making your life a stink before God or with others or with yourself? Take it to God. Talk to Him in prayer. Take up His advice. Work on removing that trash problem by identifying it and then staying connected to what is able to deal with that trash, to replace it with a sweet smell, now and into eternity. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join in a confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed. It's on the top of page 7.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of life, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. We pray. Lord God, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank You for all that You give us day after day.
We are not worthy of all the mercies You show us.
You have given us Your precious Word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature.
We thank You for those who teach and preach Your saving truth at this place and everywhere. Grant them a rich measure of patience, wisdom, and love.
Heavenly Father, we pray that You shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick, cheer those who are sad, calm those who are distressed, and comfort all who are old and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy Your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant Your blessings to every nation on earth. Where there are wars, may there be peace. Where there is hatred, let it be healed. Where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come with Your almighty power to help and restore.
Lord, you love the cheerful giver, who with open heart and hand blesses freely as a river that refreshes all the land. Grant us then the grace of giving with a spirit large and true, that our life and all our living we may consecrate to you. Continue to watch over the coming and going of those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. And for those celebrating a wedding anniversary, renew the couple's love for each other as they reflect on the love you have for them. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory.
We give ourselves to you that we may serve you in whatever way is pleasing in your sight. On whom you have mercy.
And we also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We turn to page 13 for our next hymn, The God of Abraham Prays. Again, our vocalist will sing verse 1. We'll join
God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Brothers and sisters,
go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Page 14, our closing hymn.
Thank you.
Amen. Bible study today, we're wrapping up lifestyle witnessing, helping us smell beautifully to the world as we be God's salt and light that He's called us to be. Next week, we have a special presentation. Missionary Joel Nitz will be here to share God's Word with us and the work that he has accepted to do by God's grace overseas on our behalf. And so he'll talk about that work during the Bible study hour. So you're welcome to stay for that special presentation. And then the Sunday after, we'll begin a several-week study looking at the Augsburg Confession. Bible hour for our children starts at 9:15 in the chapel. You're welcome to start with them as they start their Sunday school hour with the singing of songs, and then we'll be here at 9:30 for Bible study. Lutheran Women's Missionary Society, all month long we've been having the mission box opportunity as the rally comes up in a couple of weeks. So again, just reference the weekly news and also the information board regarding what that is all about. Today, later on this morning and afternoon, the fun day event at Rush Park, so you're welcome if you're there to check out our booth. That's another school recruitment opportunity for us now that that event is taking place again. So if you happen to be walking in that area, you go into the event, check out our booth and say hi to our volunteers. The community cook-off scheduled for a couple of weeks, that's probably going to be put on hold, just the way the circumstances are working out. We probably won't be able to host that community cook-off. But we have other events coming up in October. Check out the weekly news on those. Other than that, please do see the weekly news. Say hi to one another. Have a great day in the Lord. Remember, you smell good, thanks to your Lord and Savior.